This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the empathy bridge before addressing someone's toxic traits. Build the connection that makes hard conversations about toxic behavior land. In short, after reading this, you will be able to use the empathy bridge to open a conversation about someone's toxic traits in a way that lowers their defenses and creates real conditions for change. Acknowledge the person's situation genuinely before naming any destructive behavior. Prepare your core message and desired outcome before you say a single word. Use the 3-second pause to stay grounded when emotions spike in the room. Definition: toxic traits conversation refers to a direct, structured exchange in which you address someone's persistent destructive behavioral patterns, such as blame shifting, manipulation, or contempt, with the goal of producing genuine behavioral change rather than conflict or avoidance. You sat across from someone who had been making the team miserable for months. You knew what needed to be said. You had rehearsed it in your car. But the moment you opened your mouth, the temperature in the room dropped, the person's face closed like a shutter, and within 2 minutes you were both defensive, and nothing had changed. You walked out feeling worse than when you went in. That is what happens when you skip the empathy bridge in a toxic traits conversation. Not because you said the wrong thing, but because you said the right thing at the wrong moment, in the wrong emotional climate. The other person's defenses were already up before you started. Most people fail at these conversations not because they lack courage, but because they lack structure. They go in with the right intention, but no method for building the psychological safety that makes a person actually able to hear difficult feedback about their own behavior. Fear of conflict, confusion about where to start, and a complete absence of preparation combine to produce the worst possible outcome: a conversation that confirms to a difficult person that they are under attack. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for opening a toxic traits conversation using the empathy bridge so that your words land instead of ignite. If you want to understand more about what the empathy bridge is and how it creates lasting change in team relationships, how empathy bridges and team communication create the conditions for lasting synergy is the right place to start. Why addressing toxic traits is harder than it looks. Knowing that you need to address someone's destructive behavior and actually being able to do it are two entirely different things. The gap between those 2 points is where most well-meaning people get stuck, sometimes for months. The other person's blind spots are real. People with toxic traits really experience their own behavior as toxic. They experience it as reasonable, as self-protection, or as a response to what others are doing to them. You are not just addressing behavior. You are trying to reach someone who genuinely does not believe there is a problem. Your own amygdala is working against you. The moment the conversation gets tense, the brain's threat detection system fires. Your thinking narrows. You forget what you plan to say. You either escalate or retreat. Neither produces change. Confronting toxic behavior feels personal, even when it is professional. There's always a fear that addressing someone's destructive patterns will permanently damage the relationship, trigger retaliation, or mark you as the aggressor in the story they tell afterward. Most people have no reliable structure for this. They improvise. And improvising in a high-stakes emotional conversation without a framework is like navigating a storm without a compass. You end up wherever the current takes you. Past failed attempts lower your confidence. If you have tried before and it did not work, part of you believes it cannot work. That belief shows up in your tone before you say a word. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are 3 things that need to be clear. Skip any of them, and the steps that follow will wobble. Number 1. Clarity on the specific behavior. You are not addressing who the person is. You are addressing what they do. Name the specific behavior in concrete terms before the conversation starts. Not they are manipulative, but they consistently redirect blame to others when a project fails. This distinction protects the conversation from becoming a character attack, which always produces defensiveness and never produces change. Number 2. Your desired outcome, stated precisely. Know exactly what you want to see change before you walk into that room. Vague intentions produce vague conversations. The outcome must be specific, realistic, and actionable. I want them to stop undermining teammates in meetings is workable. I want them to be a better person is not. As I explore in Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time, where desired outcome must be something the other person can actually do differently, not a character transformation you're hoping for. Number 3. Your own emotional redness. If you are still angry, wait. You cannot build an empathy bridge when you are flooded with frustration. The bridge requires you to genuinely acknowledge the other person's situation. And you cannot do that honestly while you're still building a case against them. Take a day if you need to. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Research the person's current pressures. This step is about understanding the emotional ground the other person is standing on before you say a word. Before a toxic traits conversation, most people research what they want to say. The smarter move is to research what the other person is currently carrying. Toxic behavior often intensifies when someone is under pressure, feeling cornered, or operating from a place of fear they have never named. That context does not excuse the behavior. It does tell you where the empathy bridge needs to land. Observe what has been happening in that person's world recently: increased workload, a recent failure, team dynamics that may be affecting them. Ask a trusted colleague, briefly and neutrally, whether there's anything significant going on for that person. Recall the last 2 or 3 interactions you have had with them. Look for patterns in when the toxic behavior surfaces. Write 1 or 2 sentences that genuinely acknowledge their situation. These will become your empathy bridge opening. Here is a realistic example. A team leader notices that a colleague has been dismissing other people's ideas in meetings, consistently and publicly. Before the conversation, she learns that this person recently had a project idea rejected by senior leadership without explanation. She does not excuse the dismissive behavior, but she now has her bridge. I know the last few months have been frustrating, especially after your proposal didn't get the green light. I want to talk about something I've been noticing, because I think it's affecting the team. That one sentence changes the entire opening climate of the conversation. Step 2. Write your empathy bridge statement. Now you take what you observed in step 1 and turn it into a spoken opening. This is the core technique of chapter 5 in Say It Right Every Time, the empathy bridge. You acknowledge the other person's feelings or situation before you deliver a difficult message, because doing so lowers their defenses at a neurological level and creates the conditions for them to actually listen. A strong empathy bridge has 3 qualities: it is genuine, it is brief, and it is specific. Fake empathy, "I know things have been tough," reads as manipulation. Specific empathy, "I can see you've been carrying a heavy load since the team restructure," reads as human. Write the statement out before the conversation. Do not trust yourself to improvise this under pressure. Keep it to 1 or 2 sentences. This is not the main message. It is the opening of the door. Use language that names a feeling or a situation, not a judgment. "I know, I can see, I imagine this has been," rather than "I understand why you feel." Read it aloud before the conversation to check whether it sounds like a genuine human being speaking, not a script. Remove any trace of "but" after the empathy bridge. "I know this has been hard," but signals that the empathy was a setup. Let the bridge breathe. Pause after it before you continue. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Set up the conversation with care. Where and how you invite someone to a conversation about their toxic traits matters enormously. The wrong setting produces the wrong conversation. A person confronted in the open, in front of others, or caught off guard in a corridor will immediately shift into survival mode. The amygdala fires, the defenses go up, and you are no longer in a conversation about behavior. You are in a confrontation. That is the opposite of what you need. Choose a private space where neither of you can be overheard. The other person's dignity is part of the process. Give the person a small amount of advance notice, enough to know a conversation is coming, not enough to build defensive walls. "Can we find 30 minutes this week to talk? There's something I want to discuss with you," is ideal. Choose a time when neither of you is rushed, stressed, or coming directly from another difficult interaction. Sit at a 90-degree angle, not directly opposite. Face-to-face positioning triggers a confrontational body response. Have a glass of water for both of you. It sounds minor, but physical comfort reduces physiological arousal. Here is a script you can use to set up the conversation. "I'd like to talk about something that I think is important for both of us. It's not urgent, but it matters to me that we talk privately. Can we find 30 minutes this week? Notice what that script does not do. It does not alarm. It does not give the person time to build a case. It signals seriousness without threat. For a fuller treatment of how to start conversations like this, how to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy, goes deeper into the opening mechanics. Step 4. Deliver the bridge, then name the behavior. This is the moment the conversation begins in earnest. You open with your prepared empathy bridge statement, pause, and then name the specific behavior clearly and directly. The sequence is bridge, pause, behavior. Not the other way around. Never the other way around. Many people reverse the sequence out of nervousness. They say what they need to say and then try to soften it with empathy afterward. That does not work. The human brain processes threat before it processes explanation. If the threat lands first, the empathy that follows is noise. Open with your empathy bridge statement exactly as you prepared it. Pause for a full 2 seconds. Let the acknowledgement land. Use a nice statement to name the behavior. I've noticed that in team meetings, when a project runs into problems, the conversation tends to shift toward who is to blame rather than what we can fix. And I have noticed that you are often driving that shift. Avoid the word always and never. These trigger dispute. Stick to specific observations. State the impact clearly. When that happens, people disengage. Good ideas stop getting offered because people are protecting themselves. For further examples of how to address behavior that is silently damaging a team, how to address passive-aggressive behavior that silently eroding team synergy, gives you specific scripts for behavior that is harder to name directly. Step 5. Hold the space when defensiveness arrives. Defensiveness is not a sign that the conversation is failing. It is a sign that the conversation is working. Real material is rising to the surface. When someone's toxic traits are named, even gently, a predictable pattern emerges: denial, counter-accusation, or withdrawal. Your job in this moment is not to argue, not to retreat, and not to rush the process. Your job is to hold the space and say it right every time. I describe the 3-second pause as a micro-intervention for exactly this moment. When emotions spike, you pause for 3 full seconds before responding. This interrupts the reactive cycle in both of you. It is a small act with a large effect. When the person denies or deflects, say, "I hear you. I'm not saying this to put you in the wrong. I'm saying it because I think it's worth us both looking at together." Do not repeat the accusation. Stay with the impact. What I know is that people have been hesitant to speak up, and that's costing the team. If the person becomes hostile, apply the 3-second pause and then say, "I can see this is bringing up a strong reaction. I don't want to push through that. Can we agree to come back to this tomorrow at a time that works for you?" Use the script from Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time for spiking emotions. This is clearly a sensitive topic. "I can see you're frustrated. Let's take a breath. My intention is not to upset you." Do not fill silence. When someone goes quiet, they are often processing. Let them. The goal of this step is not to win the argument. It is to keep the door open. Scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy gives you specific language for the moments when holding space feels almost impossible. Step 6. State what you need to see change. After the bridge, the behavior, and the defensiveness, you now state the specific change you are asking for. This is where many conversations stall. People name the problem, but never name the solution. And the difficult person leaves the room with no clear picture of what different behavior looks like. Be precise. A vague request produces a vague response. State the desired behavior in observable terms. What I'm asking for is that when a project runs into trouble in a meeting, you focus on what needs to happen next rather than on who made the error. Give a time frame. "I'd like to see the change starting in our next team meeting." Ask the person directly, "Is that something you can commit to trying?" If they say yes, name what you will do differently in return, if anything. Reciprocity builds accountability. If they say no or are non-committal, do not force a yes. Say, "I'd like you to think about it. Can we talk again on Friday about where you're with this?" This step is the one most people skip when they are relieved that the emotional storm has passed. Do not skip it. Without a named, agreed upon change, the conversation was a vent, not a turning point. For a structured approach to feedback that produces lasting change, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it gives you a full framework for this step. Step 7. Close with clarity and leave the door open. How you end a toxic traits conversation matters as much as how you begin it. A poor close leaves the person feeling judged, watched, or trapped. A strong close leaves them with a clear agreement and the sense that the relationship has not been damaged by honesty. Summarise what was agreed without editorialising. So we've agreed that you'll focus on solutions rather than blame in team meetings, starting this week. Does that reflect what we talked about? Express genuine respect. I want to say that I appreciate you staying in this conversation with me. I know it wasn't easy. Leave the door open for follow-up. If things come up that are making the change hard, I'd rather you tell me than have us end up back here in 6 months. Do not extend the conversation beyond its natural close. End it when the agreement is named. If no full agreement was reached, use the script from Chapter 5. It's clear we're not going to solve this today. Can we agree to think about it and talk again on Friday? For larger breakdowns that require more than one conversation to repair, how to use the bridge method to rebuild synergy after a team breakdown gives you a multi-step process for situations that have moved beyond a single conversation. Adapting this process for remote and hybrid teams. Remote and hybrid environments create specific complications when addressing toxic traits. The absence of shared physical space removes many of the natural cues that regulate emotional conversations. Choose video over text or phone. Addressing someone's destructive behavioral patterns over email or text is almost always a mistake. The empathy bridge depends on tone, pacing, and human presence. Without visual contact, the message lands harsher than intended, and the other person's response is hidden from you. Set up the call with the same care as a physical room. Inform the person in advance that you want to have a private conversation. Ask them to take the call somewhere they will not be overheard. This signals respect and allows them to mentally prepare without triggering alarm. Name the technical limitations directly. At the start of the call, say, "I know video isn't ideal for a conversation like this, but I wanted to have it in person, even if that means a screen. I appreciate you making time." That one sentence acknowledges the imperfect medium and builds trust before the content begins. Build in deliberate pauses. On video, silence feels longer and more awkward than in person. That discomfort tempts people to fill it prematurely. Deliberate pauses are still essential. Prepare yourself mentally to hold them even when the silence feels heavy. Follow up in writing after the conversation. In a physical meeting, agreements are sealed by shared presence. In a remote context, confirm their agreed change in a brief, private message afterward. Thanks for the conversation today. To summarise what we agreed, this is not surveillance. It is clarity. The core process holds. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: delivering the empathy bridge and the accusation in the same breath. Why it happens. Nervousness drives people to compress the script and rush through the opening. What to do instead? Write the bridge as a standalone statement. Pause after it. Count 2 full seconds before you continue. The mistake: naming the person's character instead of their behavior. Why it happens. We experience toxic traits as a personality problem, so we speak in personality terms. What to do instead? Prepare your specific behavioral observation before the conversation starts. Stick to what you saw and what impact it had. The mistake: abandoning the conversation when defensiveness arrives. Why it happens. Defensiveness feels like failure, and retreating feels like the compassionate choice. What to do instead? Use the 3-second pause, name what you are observing, and hold the space. The defensiveness is part of the process, not the end of it. The mistake: leaving without a named, specific agreement for change. Why it happens. People feel relieved that the difficult part is over and close the conversation prematurely. What to do instead? Stay in the room long enough to name exactly what change looks like and confirm that the other person understands it. The mistake: having the conversation in a shared or semi-public space. Why it happens. Opportunity presents itself and people act on impulse rather than plan. What to do instead? Always set up a private conversation in advance. Impulse confrontations about toxic behavior almost always backfire. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each conversation. I have named the specific behavior I'm addressing, not a character trait. I have identified my desired outcome in concrete, observable terms. I have checked my own emotional readiness and am not approaching this in anger. I have researched what pressures the other person is currently carrying. I have written my empathy bridge statement and read it aloud. I have arranged a private space and given the person appropriate advance notice. I have prepared my I statement to name the behaviour and its impact. I have the 3-second pause ready for when emotions spike. I know what specific change I'm asking for and how I will state it. I have a script for closing with or without full agreement. I am prepared to follow up within 1 week to acknowledge progress or return to the conversation. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a structured process for opening one of the hardest conversations most people ever attempt. Not a vague approach, but a specific, repeatable method that works in the real world with real people who have real defences. The empathy bridge is not softening the blow. It is changing the emotional climate so the message can land. Your desired outcome must be specific and behavioural before you say a single word. Defensiveness is not failure. It is the conversation beginning to work. The 3-second pause is your most reliable tool when the room gets charged. Name the specific change you want, not just the behaviour you want to stop. Close with clarity and named agreement, genuine respect, and an open door. The toxic traits conversation is not a single event. It is the beginning of an accountability process. If you want to go deeper into the full framework that sits beneath the empathy bridge, how to use the empathy bridge before delivering critical feedback builds out the complete core framework that I detail and say it right every time. For situations where the behaviour has already fractured the team dynamic, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it gives you the tools to rebuild trust after the hardest conversations. The people who change teams are not the ones who avoid difficult people. They are the ones who learn to approach them with a method strong enough to withstand the storm. Frequently asked questions. What is a toxic traits conversation, and why is it so difficult? A toxic traits conversation is a direct discussion with someone about persistent destructive patterns in their behaviour. It is difficult because the person rarely sees their own patterns clearly, defensiveness spikes immediately, and most people lack a reliable structure to keep the conversation from collapsing into conflict. How do you start a toxic traits conversation without causing a defensive reaction? Start by building an empathy bridge before you name any behaviour. Acknowledge the other person's pressures or situation in 1 or 2 genuine sentences before stating your concern. This lowers the amygdala's direct response and makes the person far more likely to actually hear what you say next. What is the empathy bridge, and how does it work before addressing toxic traits? The empathy bridge is a technique from Chapter 5 of Say It Right Every Time. You acknowledge the other person's feelings or situation before delivering a difficult message. This reduces defensiveness at a neurological level and creates the psychological safety needed for a real conversation about destructive behaviour. How many times should you use the empathy bridge before addressing someone's toxic behaviour? Use the empathy bridge once per conversation, at the very beginning. It is not a repeated technique within a single exchange. Its job is to open the door. Repeating it mid-conversation can feel manipulative. One genuine acknowledgement, stated clearly, is enough to shift the emotional climate. Can the empathy bridge work when someone's toxic traits are severe or long-standing? Yes, though it requires more preparation and patience. Long-standing destructive patterns often come with deep defensiveness built over years. The empathy bridge does not dissolve that overnight. It creates a crack in the wall. Expect the first conversation to be about opening a dialogue, not producing a complete transformation. What happens if the person rejects the empathy bridge and becomes hostile anyway? Apply the 3-second pause before you respond. Name what you're observing without judgment. Say, you can see this is bringing up strong feelings, and ask if you should come back tomorrow. Do not chase the conversation. Give the person space and return to it. A rejected bridge does not end the process. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.